Is that right, bud? Okay, 314. All right, thine, O Lord, let's sing the first, second, and last verses.
I am thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice.
Thank you. 52 tomorrow. 52.
Song. We'll sing the first and the second fellowship and come back on the last 212 as we stand and sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of
Thank you.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So precious is thy flow, it makes me white as snow. No other mount I go, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Alright, thank you. Let you be seated. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That is so true. It's not the Democrats, the Republicans, the Libertarians, or any of that outfit going to do it. That's the truth. Independence, independence, doesn't matter. It's not. It's only the blood of Jesus. And I tell you what, we better take note of that one. Only the blood of Jesus is going to take away our sins, give us peace. It's sure not the federal government, is it? Tell you what, they talk about 4 more years of Obama. I hope they have, Lord has mercy. We don't have that. And the Republicans are in such a battle right now, it's almost hilarious. And Brother Andy and I were watching the closing of South Carolina with the votes and all, and it was funny. And we got to, I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, we were watching, and they were doing all the, you know, concession speeches, whatever you want to call it. And Ron Paul got up, and he gave a lesson on economics, and he went on and went on and went on. So we turned to another program and watched a little bit of the program. Then we came back, and he was still going. And then we went back to the program again, and he came back, he's still going. And I'm going, he was last place, he needs to be quiet. And it was just hilarious. And so, you know, three of these primaries, three winners, and some people say it's horrible, some people say it's the best thing to happen. All kinds of confusion and chaos, but you know what, we just need Jesus, that's the bottom line. And people get hold of that, and it sure would settle a lot of problems. But anyway, that's, thank God for the blood. All right, sister, you want to play for us and sing for us?
Yes, sir. This world is now reeling. Fear captures the soul. Love is unfeeling. Sin's taking its toll. Oh, but I have come assurance that make burdens roll. God's word tells us plainly that he's still in control. And no matter how dark may seem the day, no matter how hard might seem the way, my Savior divine still holds the world in the palm of his hands. So don't be discouraged when things look bad, and don't be downhearted and looking so sad. Remember, my child, our Lord on high, he's still in control. He stepped out on nothing, and he gave us the sun. He made the stars, named them one by one. And though Satan blinds us, he brings fear to our souls. Just lift up your head, 'cause he's still in control. And no matter how dark the night might seem, no matter how hard it might seem, my Savior divine still holds the world in the palm of his hands. So So don't be discouraged when things look bad, and don't be downhearted and looking so sad. Remember, my child, our Lord on high, He's still in control. Remember, my child, our Lord on high, He's still in control.
Do not understand or believe that God is in control. God is not falling asleep at the wheel. And so I'm glad of that today. Thank you, sister, for that good special in the song. All right, I've asked Brother Andy Petrillo to preach for us today. He takes at least two trips a year up here to Lynchburg, to Liberty, to work on his doctorate degree. And Brother Andy, of course, is such a good friend, and appreciate his fellowship and the blessing that he's been to us through the years. 25 years at the same church. That's all fantastic. Started the church from scratch, and they just got into a new 400-seat auditorium, and God has just blessed him, and the folks there so wonderful. And so we appreciate him taking some time to be with him. He'll be leaving this afternoon, going to Lynchburg to settle in. And you have about how much longer before you're finished with your doctorate? One more class. I appreciate so much him coming to be with us. What you pray for him, and pray that God will lay on his heart what we need today through the Spirit of the Lord. So, preacher, you come on up. Bless us today.
Pleasure to be here today. Thank you for the invitation, and always good to have the opportunity to come and share God's word with folks. I appreciate Preacher Moore and Starlene and their hospitality they've shown me this week, and good to have friends such as this that see God working in their life and ministry, and I rejoice with that. I'm glad to be here this morning to maybe share something that'll be a help to you as I begin to pray about what the Lord would have me to share. As a pastor of a church, I realize that all of us are at different places in our spiritual walk with the Lord. God has brought us from various places, and some have grown greatly. Some of you may be newer Christians. I don't know your relationship in that regard, but I pray this morning God will use the message to help us to get closer to Him. One of the ugliest words in the English language is this. Think about it. The ugliest words in the English language is this: ungrateful. Ungrateful. Because nobody wants to be ungrateful. Nobody wants to be. But here's the problem with ungratefulness. Ungratefulness is almost impossible for us to see in the mirror. Okay? We do not see it in ourselves. We can easily spot it in other people, but in ourselves, we don't see it. Now, you know when you're angry, and you sense when you are afraid. You know when you're nervous. You sense when you're insecure. But when you are ungrateful, it is very, very difficult for us to notice. In fact, we never see our own ungratefulness. In fact, if anyone had ever told you that you are ungrateful, you would immediately deny it and you go into a defense mode. Immediately, if somebody was to come to you this morning and say, you're ungrateful, immediately you would deny it and say, no, I'm not. And the reason why we respond that way is that we feel like we are being told that we're not feeling something, that we're accused that we don't feel grateful. And what happens is this: if somebody says to you immediately, you are ungrateful, your mind begins to go through the cycle of thinking about all the things that you are grateful for. And pretty soon, this feeling of gratitude comes over you, and you feel so grateful that immediately your response is, there's no way I could be ungrateful because I feel very grateful because now I'm thinking grateful thoughts. Okay? And so it kind of reinforces that assumption that we are not an ungrateful person. And the problem is we can't see it in ourselves. In fact, some of you are sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, I'm glad you're preaching that message, preacher. The person behind me or next to me really needs to hear that message, okay? But I want to challenge you today to not do that, but focus on you. Because I believe that all of us at times are not as grateful as we should be. All of us fall into that. And because it is so hard for us to see it in ourselves, it's easy to look at other people. We could probably immediately give you a list of 10 people that we believe are very ungrateful people, and we wouldn't include our name on that list, but somebody else might include you. And the reality is we're going to see there are times in which we are all ungrateful. We do need this message. Now, what happens is this. Gratitude produces generosity. When you have been generous to someone, you have been generous because there has been an issue of gratitude that has been expressed. And the more people are grateful for what you do for them, the more you feel compelled to do for them. You know, if you give somebody a gift and they're very appreciative, you didn't mind that. In fact, you're like, well, maybe next time I'll get a bigger gift or do more for them. But ingratitude does just the opposite. Ingratitude shuts down our generosity. It shuts down our relationships. When we do something for someone and we perceive that they're not grateful for it, we say, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to give that to them again. But the problem is, sometimes we are that person. The truth is this, I have never heard anybody admit that they are an ungrateful person. Have you? Think about it. Has anybody ever admitted to you and said, I'm an ungrateful person? Has anyone ever in a prayer request, when you begin to say, we got prayer requests, and say, I need you to pray for me, I'm not very grateful. Because nobody sees themselves that way, but somebody is ungrateful, and a lot of times it's us. So I want you to take your Bibles this morning and look with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And I want to read some verses here and talk about them this morning, about the fact of we need to be grateful people before the Lord. Grateful people before the Lord. And this is somewhat of a very familiar passage of a story, and I want you to look in Luke chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. And speaking of Jesus here, it says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So somewhat of a familiar story for us, but I hope for us we'll see something in here that maybe we didn't see before. So the story begins with Jesus traveling. And as he's traveling, he encounters this group of men that have leprosy. Now, in biblical times, this was a very horrible thing because there was no cure. There was no treatment. Basically, you lived your life in isolation. You were somewhat quarantined from the general public. and you just, you waited until you died from this painful disease. Occasionally, there would be some miracle that would happen, and when that happened and they were cured of that, the law said that you had to go before the priest, and the priest would certify you as clean, and then you could enter back into the general public. And that didn't happen very often. These 10 guys come to Jesus, and they go to the priest, and on their way back, leaving Jesus towards the priest, they're healed. God rewards their faith and obedience. And as they're healed, one of the 10 comes back to Jesus, runs back, and gives thanks for what took place there. And Jesus notes that this guy was not a Jew, he was a Samaritan. Now this is somewhat significant in our text because the Samaritans, again, were not liked by the Jews. They were of a mixed race. They were part Jew and they were part Gentile. And the Jews despised the Gentiles, the non-Jews. But if there was one group that they hated worse than that they hated the Samaritans, because they were neither Jew nor Gentile. They were kind of a mixture of both. And so there was a lot of animosity and racism that was very prevalent in those days. And yet Jesus ministered to this individual. And then he asks a very, very important question here. And he points out that there's something wrong with the response. In verse 17, Jesus says, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Where's the 9? Wasn't there 10? And there's only one that came back. There's a problem." Now, there is an emotional response that we have when we read this. We go, wow, those 9 guys were so ungrateful. My goodness, Jesus did so much for them, and they didn't come back and tell him that they were appreciative. Now, here's what I want you to think about this in the story. We wouldn't think that way had not the one came back. Okay? If the 10 had gone their way and got healed and went their way, we wouldn't have read this passage and said, you know what, these guys aren't very thankful. But because the one came back and the 9 didn't, now our minds begin to think about the subject of gratitude. Throughout the Bible, there were countless people here healed by Jesus that never came back and said thank you. I think of the centurion servant that got healed. He never came back to Jesus and said, Jesus, thank you for that. And there were other people that Jesus healed, and the Bible never records that they came back to give thanks. And we read those passages, and we don't go away saying, man, how ungrateful these people were. We didn't think that way. Why do we think that way? Because the one did come back and give thanks. And so now we wonder, well, what about the 9? Why didn't the 9 come back? Now, pause for a moment and think about how those 9 felt. Were they ungrateful? Did they not appreciate what Jesus did? And I suggest to you this morning that they were thankful. How could they not? Here they were victims of a debilitating disease that wrecked their life, and now in an instant their life was given back to them. The disease that plagued their body they would look at, and now it was gone. How could they not be appreciative? How could they not be excited about the fact of what God had done in their life? If you walked up to them at that moment and say, are you thankful that you're healed? I cannot imagine them saying, well, no, I'm not. I believe that they would. They probably went back, instead of going to Jesus, they went to their family and said, I'm back, I'm healed. They're probably excited with one another. Maybe they're up giving high fives to each other, and they're all excited about the fact that they have been healed. And so I think on that level that they were thankful. However, Jesus says only one came back. Weren't there 10 and only one returned? There's something wrong with the response. Now the 9 that didn't return have no idea that they are ungrateful. They don't see it. They don't notice it. It hasn't crossed their mind. And oftentimes in your life and in my life, we do the same thing and we don't see it. Now here's the point. They felt gratitude, but they didn't express it. They felt it, but they didn't express it. There's where the disconnect is. And oftentimes when somebody does something for you, whether it's God or whether it's another individual, oftentimes we feel very appreciative for what they did for us, but we fail to express it. How often does somebody do something in the church? Someone sings a song, and we are blessed by it. But you never go up to them and say, listen, I was blessed by that song. Now, you were blessed by it. Okay? If somebody went up to you and said, hey, did that song bless you this morning? You would say, yeah, it blessed me. It spoke to my heart. But you never communicate it to that person. Or you think about your pastor and the things that he does. And many times if someone would go up to you, are you thankful for your pastor? Well, yeah, I'm thankful for my pastor. But did you tell him today that you're thankful for what he's doing? Well, no. Oftentimes we feel it, but we don't express it. We're thankful for what our parents do for us, or our spouse may do for us. And if somebody, again, were to ask us, are you thankful for your spouse? Are you thankful for your parents? Are you thankful for your teacher? Are you thankful for whomever? We would say yes, but the problem is we feel it, but we don't express it. Jesus is saying it here. Weren't there 10 and only one returned? Here's the principle I want you to get a hold of in this. That unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. It communicates just the opposite. When you don't express your gratitude, what you are expressing is just the opposite of what you feel. Now, you feel thankful because somebody did something nice for you, or maybe God has done something wonderful for you, and you feel it in your life, but if you don't express it, it comes across as the opposite of ingratitude. We don't intend to do that. But the problem is we just don't see it. We are orientated to move forward in our life. And so we're just going on with our life now. Now that it happens, we feel it, we're thankful, and then we move on. But notice it says in verse 14 that they were cleansed. Again, how could they not be grateful for what God did in their life? How would it be possible for God to do something so miraculous in their life and for them not to feel gratitude? And yet verse 15 said, and one of them, only one of them expressed that gratitude. So another thought we get gleaned from this is simply this, that unexpressed gratitude has the same effect as rejection. When you don't express it, it is though you have rejected that individual that has given you that blessing. And let me kind of illustrate it this way. Ladies, you can probably identify with this. You're fixing a big meal for your family. Okay? You're going out and you're going to make that special meal. I mean, it is going to be the primo meal. And so you get the ingredients and stuff that you know your family likes. And you're spending time in the kitchen and preparing it, and you're getting everything ready. And finally, when it's ready, you begin to call people to the table and say, dinner is ready. And, you know, the husband, he's surfing the television channel. I'll be there in a minute. And maybe the kids are doing something on their computers or playing a video game or something like that. And they're seemingly to ignore you're pleased to come to the meal. And so finally you bring them to the table and they just devour the meal. I mean, they eat and they're talking, and as soon as they're done, they leave the table and they go right back to what they're doing. And you inside are just about to erupt like a volcano, because you've put all this time and effort into the meal, and they have made you upset. Now, if you were to take a time out, what did you think of the meal? Oh, that was a wonderful meal. My favorite. That was great. That was awesome. That was incredible. People would lavish those comments. But a lot of times, we don't do that. And so what happens is this. When we don't express that gratitude, it feels like rejection, even though that's not what we intend to communicate. But that is precisely what we communicate to someone when we don't express gratitude, rejection. And when that happens, usually the husband asks the stupidest question a man could ever ask. And he goes to his wife and says, "Honey, what's wrong?" Wrong question to ask, because she's going to then tell you, okay? And it's not going to be pretty, You have no idea that you've been ungrateful because you don't see it. You feel gratitude. Your stomach is full. You've enjoyed the meal. But you're conveying just the opposite because you haven't conveyed it. Kids, you're feeling it. But in your mind, you're going, "Well, why do I need to say thanks to my mom? That's her job to cook for me, right?" And then you end up into more trouble when you think that way. Everybody likes to do nice things for their family. You enjoy being kind to your kids and to others and to your friends. But when your efforts are not acknowledged, it feels like rejection. And that's why the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Why does God say in everything give thanks? Why? Because he understands that if we don't express it, it comes across as rejection. He understands that when gratitude isn't expressed, it comes across as ingratitude. And he understands this, that we tend as individuals to gravitate towards relationships of acceptance. When people are grateful and appreciate for what you do, people are drawn to that. But when you are a person that seldom says thank you, that seldom compliments people for what they're doing, that's only concerned about them talking about what you've done and what you've accomplished as opposed to what they've done and what they've accomplished, it's no wonder that people pull away. And if you wonder why people don't like you better, or why we don't have as much friends, maybe it's this issue of gratitude. So if you fail to express your gratitude, what happens is this, is you drive the hearts of people out of your relationships. And they don't want to be part of that because they feel rejected. They feel unappreciated. They feel that you are just not a very grateful individual. And they disconnect. And the reverse is true. When people are expressive in their appreciation, when you find someone that is complimentary, when you find someone that really has a heart and thankfulness for what people do, and they express it, they say it verbally, they send notes, they make gestures of that way, those are the people that you appreciate. Those are the people that really count in your life. Those are the people you don't mind being with, that you like to fellowship with, that you find your relationships growing. Who are the people in your life that you haven't expressed that gratitude towards? Who are they? And don't just say, "Well, you know what? I don't have to tell the preacher. That's his job to do that. I don't have to tell my mom thankful. That's her job for that. I don't have to tell my wife I'm thankful. That's her job." See, that's the wrong attitude. The Bible says to give thanks in everything. You don't have to pray about this one. The Bible says it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There it is. Are we thankful? Who is it? Who is it that you need to say thankful to? Thanks. Who is it that you need to pick up the phone today and say, "You know what, I'm just, no particular reason. I just want to let you know I appreciate what you're doing. Imagine what that would do for them. Imagine if you wrote them a little note or something and you stuck it in the mail and they go to the mailbox and just bills, junk mail. What is this? And there's a note from somebody expressing their thankfulness. Imagine what kind of encouragement that would be to somebody that's facing some difficult days ahead of them. The scripture then reminds us here in verse 17 that Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There were not found that returned to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. Here's what happens here. Your gratitude closes the loop in our relationship between God and others. There's a cycle, there's a loop that takes place when gratitude is put forth. And it isn't closed until that thankfulness is expressed. And we see that in others, and we see that in the life of our kids, but many times we forget. Let me give you an example. Your kid's going to a birthday party, your grandkid's going to a birthday party, and Jane's having this party for her. It's her birthday. And little Jack comes, and he's there, and he's, of course, naturally going to give a birthday present to her. And so Jack gives Jane the gift that he has gotten for her. She opens the package, and it's a doll. It's a Barbie doll or something like that. And, you know, everybody opens that, and everybody goes, ooh, you know, good gift. And the mom immediately turns to the daughter, and you know what she says. What do you say? What do you say to the daughter? And she's trying to open the, no, what do you say? And, you know, she gives kind of a half-hearted thank you, you know. Thank you. But you make her say thank you, right? What do you say? Thank you. You know, and she's thinking, why do I have to say thank you? Because he gave you a gift. Well, it's my birthday, duh. I mean, you're supposed to get presents at a birthday. But the mom knows something the daughter doesn't see, that there's a loop that hasn't been completed, that there's a missing element there that she needs to acknowledge her appreciation for the gift. Just as Jesus here acknowledges that these guys that were healed needed to acknowledge what God did in their life. Unexpressed gratitude isn't gratitude. It is rejection. And that is this. To refuse to pay my debt of gratitude is to really live with an inflated view of myself. We really do owe each person a debt of gratitude as they invest in our life. And when I fail to do that, I'm falling into that trap that Romans talks about in Romans chapter 12, in which we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. So I'm saying I don't need to say thank you. You know, they're supposed to do that for me. And that's the wrong attitude to have. Imagine what your family would be like. Imagine what your church would be like. Imagine what your community, wherever you find yourself, would be like if people expressed the gratitude. Imagine in the church the things that oftentimes get done that people don't ever say I appreciate. Sometimes the big things people see. But I know, being in church work for so many years, that there are a lot of things that are done that most people never see that's important. And I don't know who, for example, cleans your restrooms here. That's, you know, not something that, you know, you get up here today and go, well, our restrooms were cleaned today by sisters, you know. But I don't know about you, but I appreciate that. That's important. When's the last time we ever told whoever does that, good job, thank you? Or someone that makes sure that the heat's on when it's really cold. I don't know about you, but if it's really cold outside, heat's a good thing to have inside the building. And we just kind of assume that it just, you know, magically happens. But it doesn't magically happen. Somebody has to do that. And it's not like they're sitting around saying, well, you know, I want the pat on the back, I want the kudos. But when people do those things, we need to be a person that acknowledges that. And when we don't, when we see people that don't acknowledge that, they have an inflated view of themselves. The truth is this morning, I have never met an arrogant person who is grateful. Well, on the reverse side, I've never met a humble person who wasn't grateful. Humility seems to foster that spirit of gratefulness. And arrogance and pride seems to remiss in that area. Now, what about you? Are you a person that says thank you? Some of you, the reality is you have been blessed time and time again by individuals in your life, and you have not taken that opportunity to express it. And I'm not saying that you're not thankful. I know that you feel it. I know that if you were given a test and say, am I thankful, you would check the yes box. But every day we're given an opportunity to express ourselves, to make a difference. And oftentimes we fail to do that. We need to be like that one Samaritan who returned. I'm sure it was inconvenient. I'm sure he would have rather gone and did something else, and yet he knew that he needed to do that, to complete that loop. He was a returner. And that is what I want to challenge you this morning as we wind down our message. I want you to be a returner. I want you that as God blesses your life, to express that. First of all, expressing it to God. Did you know that God likes to hear our praise? That God likes to hear from you and I when He blesses us, thank you? Now I know you're thankful when God blesses you, but when's the last time you told God that? When's the last time in your prayer time, instead of saying, God, give me this, do this for me, God, I want this, give me, do, that you just said, God, I'm not going to ask you for anything today, God, because you've given me so much. I just want to say today, God, thanks. I just want to tell you thank you for so, you've been so good. When's the last time in an opportunity that we have to share praise in church, instead of saying, you know, well, pray for my back, or pray for more money, or pray that this person gets out of my life, or whatever it may be, that we just said, listen, I just want to tell you today, I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done. Or when's the last time when you know, God works through people, God uses people in our lives every day. What's that person in your life that God's used to be a help to you? When's the last time you expressed that to them? Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's somebody in the church, maybe it's, you know, your pastor, maybe it's a deacon, maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. I don't know. But I'm sure God is using people in your life to help you, to bless you, to challenge you. Sometimes it may be that they told you something you didn't want to hear, but you needed to hear. Or maybe sometimes they kind of gave you some encouragement, some reinforcement when you were down. Maybe they've been keeping you in your prayers. And you just haven't expressed that. You said, you know what, I'm sure they know. Let me tell you this morning, I'm sure they don't know. Well, you know what? I'm not going to tell our preacher that because he'll just get a big head. No, he won't. You know what he might? You know what it would do for him? He'll preach better. He'll have a better preacher. He'll love you more. He'll work harder for you. See, what happens is when we don't express it, we feel like, well, nobody cares. Why should I study harder for teach this Sunday school class when nobody says anything about what I do? What compelling reason? But see, if you came up and said, listen, I'm blessed by that. Thank you. You know what that does to that teacher? They're going to go back and say, man, I'm going to study harder next week. Or I'm going to learn another song. Or I'm going to try to sing better. Or I'm going to try to serve better. Why? Because that encourages that kind of behavior. And when we fail to do that, it causes people to back away from that and say, you know what, those people really don't care what I do. They don't know the hours I put into that. And sometimes you really, maybe you don't know all of that. But what would it hurt to express that gratitude? I think it wouldn't hurt at all. A returner is someone who is willing to go back to those who have enabled you to move forward. And that's what Jesus did for them. Jesus enabled those people to move forward in their lives. Because at that point, they had that leprosy. They weren't going anywhere. They were kind of in a holding pattern. And all they were going to do is stay in that miserable situation until they died a very painful, miserable death. And Jesus came in, and he took that away, and he enabled them to then, for the first time in a long time, to move forward in their life. And there are people that God puts in your life and in my life that enables us to do that as well. And it may be that they cause something, a principle in God's Word, that finally allows us to get over our bitterness. Or maybe they encouraged us when we were down and we were really just to kind of give up. And their word of encouragement kept us to go on a little bit further. Or maybe we had kind of just lost perspective and we said, you know what, that there's no sense in going on, it's all over. And they were able to give us hope for the future. They enabled us to move forward. A returner says, you know what, I'm going to go back to that person. And in your life, there may be people here or there may be people in the past in your life that helped you to where you are now. Maybe it's a school teacher. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a relative. Whoever it may be. And maybe it's been a long, long time since you've seen that person, and you have never taken the time to express that. I want to challenge you this morning to give that some thought and be a returner. If you had a teacher in your life that made a difference, find that person. Send them a note, a phone call, an email, Facebook page, whatever it might be. Try to do it personal. A personal touch is much better. Maybe it's somebody here. Maybe it's someone in your family. I don't know. Don't be like these guys that were blessed so incredibly, and they went on and they forgot. Don't let it be said that Jesus is looking down at you today and saying, number 10, only one return. Be that one that returns. Be that person that gives thanks and appreciation. We all have times in which we need help and encouragement and love and acceptance and affirmation and kindness. All of us, there are times that we need that. And the Bible tells us emphatically in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind. You don't have to be ugly. Well, I don't agree with that. That's great. We don't have to agree. That's the good point. We don't, but we do have to be kind. And we do have to be loving. And we do have to forgive. We forget that sometimes. And we think that the most important thing in the world is for us to be right and for us to be assertive and for our way to be the way. And you know what? A mature Christian realizes, I don't have to have my way. That's not important. But what is important is that I'm kind. What is important is that I'm forgiving as Jesus was. What is important is that I become like Jesus. Now, did Jesus stand up for what was true? Absolutely. Is Jesus obnoxious, arrogant? Never. What I find remarkable about Jesus is that there are people that were very, very different from Jesus. And they liked him. They liked him. People that weren't anything like Jesus at all, and they liked being around Jesus. And I find so often for us, there are people that aren't anything like us, and they don't like to be around us. Because sometimes we exhibit more of the qualities of the Pharisees than we do of the Savior. And this is simply one area that we need to give attention to ourselves, because I want to be like Jesus. And honestly, sometimes I am not, just as sometimes you are not. Who do you owe a debt of gratitude to? Who is it that you have to give that thanks to? I want to encourage you as I close to swallow your pride, humble yourself, be a person of extraordinary gratefulness, and watch what happens in your life. Watch the people that are drawn to you. Watch the response that you have when you change. See, we spend all our time trying to change other people. Only if she did this or he did that. You know what? The greatest game changer you can do is change yourself. Or rather, let God change you in this way. Because your flesh is going to fight against you. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. God will change you. And when you are changed, everything else around you changes by virtue of your change. If you want to make a big difference in your life and the life of this community, you change first. When you have the heart of Jesus, people will be attracted to you as they were to Jesus Christ. This morning as we close, I don't know what your position is and relationship to the Lord is, but I know that if you're like me, that oftentimes, if we're honest, we're not the most grateful people in the world. At least we don't express it. And so I challenge you this morning to be a person of incredible gratitude to the Lord and to those around you. You know, this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that though you may not have been interested in Him, He's very interested in you. He came to this world to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And though you may not have considered it, He's urging you this morning to open your heart and receive Him into your life. When crisis in your life, it makes all the difference in the world. All the difference. If you're a believer this morning, I challenge you, because you as a believer, I as a believer, we have so much to be thankful for what God has done in our life. And when God saved me, if God never did another thing in my life, I would have all eternity to thank Him for what He did. And yet you know as well as I do, once God saved you, that wasn't the end of His graciousness towards you, was it? In fact, this book tells me that one day God is in heaven right now waiting for the very moment that we can someday join Him and He can lavish us with all the benefits of His kingdom. Boy, we have much to be thankful for in the days to come. We've got much to be thankful for right here and now as you begin to think about it. Be a grateful person. Be a person that says thanks. Be a person that expresses it. Don't just feel it. Don't just say, you know what, preacher, that's true, and then you go and you don't do anything about it. Go and do something about it today. And watch what God does in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your incredible gifts of salvation through Jesus Christ. And God, I just thank You that You're an amazing God. How much You loved us. How much You gave to save us. And God, thank You for the people that You have placed in our lives that have helped us to move beyond where we had been. It may have been a brother or sister. It might have been a pastor. It may have been a neighbor. It may have been a friend. God, help us in our minds to take the time and begin to think about that, not only how grateful we feel, but how we can go and express that gratitude to individuals. And God, I expect that you'll work in our life, your will and purpose, that ultimately we might give the glory and praise as this one Samaritan did as he fell down at your feet and glorified you. May we do that at this moment. In Jesus' name I ask this.
Have thy own way, Lord. 388. Thank you.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Through sunshine and rain, even sorrow and pain, Jesus is still my comfort and guide. And His love comforts me, and His grace has set me free, and someday I shall stand by His side. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed.
Thank you so much. All right, Brother Julius, Brother Bill, will you come at this time and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings? Brother Julius, you need some prayer, please. Church into a very brief business meeting. Had some discussions.